In today's episode, we ask the question, does drinking impact other areas of your life? And most importantly, we look at what is working well in your life in order to tweak what isn't. Welcome to Think Beyond the Drink. This podcast is for women who want to unravel their relationship with alcohol and other vices without labels, stigma, or judgment. We focus on things that give us energy, not take from it. This is for women who want to feel the aliveness and vitality in their life again, who want deep, intimate connections and a purpose-driven life. Thank you so much for joining me today. Really, really, truly appreciate the giving of your time to listen to this podcast. Do not take that lightly at all. So yeah, how is everyone? I've had a crazy week. I went from not volunteering a lot of my time for my children's school to now overly volunteering. I am now class parent of my sixth grader's class and also part of the PTA, their version of the PTA. So I don't know. So this brings me to this conversation we're going to have today about vitality and aliveness, like having the energy and the excitement to take on life, to take on new responsibilities, to try new things, to stretch ourselves. And you know how I'm able to do it. And let me just preface this by saying I'm not always able to do it and I'm not always graceful at it. And it's sometimes really clunky. And there are seasons in my life where I don't overextend, or maybe I shouldn't say even overextend, where I don't extend myself because I know that I don't have the capacity to do that. So what I'm hoping to do within this episode is really help us identify the areas that we need to be aware of, that we need to maybe dial in if we're feeling overextended, or if we're not feeling alive, we're feeling kind of dull in our life, that nothing really excites us, like kind of where we can dial it up and where we need to dial it back down. And I like to start by reminding myself of where I was 7 years ago before I began this self-discovery journey. I always called this from the very beginning, this period of self-discovery. And what I recognize now is that if somebody were to talk to me with words like aliveness and vitality, I'd be like, okay, yeah, great. That sounds wonderful. But I am trudging through peanut butter right now. Like, there's too much going on in my life for me to even think about adding new stuff to it to where I feel alive. And then the other thing that I think about around that same time is, even though those words would have really ticked me off, I was also trying my hardest to feel more alive. For instance, let me just give you a little like backdrop of what was going on in my life 7 years ago. I was working full-time in a clinical setting. So for those of you who do not know, I'm a physician assistant, which is like a medical doctor in the United States. I can diagnose and treat medical illness. I've been doing that for well over a decade. And when I was working in a really, really busy rural health clinic that they saw as the emergency room. So it was a very high-stress job. I worked 12-hour shifts. It was a 45-minute commute one way, and so they were very long days. And I had a baby and I had a toddler, and I was the primary caregiver to my family. My husband was working on his practice, and I was also the one who held the health insurance for the family. So there was a lot going on. And what I did in my downtime, the way that I rewarded myself, was by drinking with my drinking buddy. My drinking buddy was my husband. He and I were married for 10 years before we had kids. So we did a lot of drinking together and while traveling for happy hours, just to decompress at the end of the day. So that's what we do. And I was basically in a survival type mode. All of my basic needs were taken care of for sure. But then above that, there was sort of little else for me to provide for myself for this feeling of aliveness and vitality. And back then, like I alluded to, I tried to do these things to feel more alive. I would do cleanses where I would not drink alcohol for 30 days, along with not eat gluten or sugar or dairy. I would sign up for triathlons. I did 3 sprint triathlons when my kids were little. I did a couch to 5K. I started doing a meditation practice. I started to up my yoga game. All of these were to make me feel better. And you can actually insert aliveness with just feeling better. You can do that too if aliveness feels like too much of a stretch for you. And maybe I should define aliveness a little bit more. Aliveness is just that feeling that we're like excited for life, like that life is juicy and we're, you know, turned on by what life has to offer. So anyway, if you want to insert feeling better into that, you are more than welcome to. But I really didn't know where to start. What I did is I created this vitality roadmap for you, but really also for my past self, something that I wish that I would have been able to give my past self for her to really look at and be and say, okay, so what is that one thing that really has that negative ripple effect on the rest of my life, the other areas in my life that are important for vitality and aliveness. So I'm going to share that with you today. But before I do that, I want you to imagine a map. And on this map, there are cities and towns and country roads connecting these cities and towns and highway systems. And then I want you to imagine that some of these cities are really bustling. They have beautiful green space and commerce and art. And then you have some of these towns and cities that are more up and coming. They have maybe like hip coffee shops or like artist vibe. And then you have some of these towns that are less than ideal in the sense that they have like shuttered windows. People are moving away from them. And I want you to really know that these are all interconnected. So there are highways, great infrastructure that does attach some of these cities and towns together. But then others, they're more connected by these kind of dirt roads that have huge potholes in them and they aren't well traveled. And I want you to picture those networks as the neural networks in your brain. And the systems that have the highways, the robust cities that connect each other, that have these really well-built infrastructures and highways, they are the habits and beliefs and systems that you kind of already have in place that are really like dialed in and you feel really good about. And then the cities that are connected to the towns that have these dirt roads with potholes. Now, these are the areas that you might get some traction, but then you end up with a flat tire, or you're just kind of always just waiting for that road to be rebuilt in order to get to that more robust city. And so you're kind of sitting by the sidelines waiting. Now, what I want you to do is I'm going to list 7 areas that I feel that we really need to focus on to get dialed in to have this aliveness and vitality in our life. And I want you to plug these in as names of these cities and towns on your own map that you created in your brain. So the 7 different areas are alcohol consumption. So I really want you to think about really looking at your alcohol consumption as little to no alcohol. And I'll tell you the reason why in a little bit. So rate on a scale from 0 to 10 what your alcohol consumption is. Then I want you to rate 0 to 10 what your sleep is like. Then we're going to go down to 3 is movement. Do you move your body? And not just do you move your body, because some people who can do really hard, strenuous exercise cannot feel that great for them. It can feel like it's kind of taking it to the extreme. Or on the flip side, let's say that you just do very mild walking, but you know you could do more. So rate your movement. And when you're rating your movement, I also want you to think about enjoyment of it. And I think that was what I was trying to get to when I was talking about the extreme of the exercise. Is that enjoyable to you? Not the after effect of the exercise, but during the actual exercise and movement, is that enjoyable to you? And rate that. And 4 is going to be perceived stress. I'm going to have a whole episode about perceived stress, but for this podcast today, I just want you to think about it as just stress alone. Where are you on that level? And honestly, we may not even recognize that we are living in more of a higher stress state because we've been living in that state for so long. When I was in the clinical setting, I would ask people this a lot because we can have physical symptoms when we are in high stress. And I would say, you know, how is your stress level? And this is before I had a lot more of the terminology that I do now to really help coach somebody through that process. And they would say, I mean, nothing's changed. And I said, okay, well, just describe a typical day for me. And by the time they got to 10 o'clock in the morning, I was stressed. And you could tell that their jaw was tense and their eyes were darting around the room. Just for this podcast right now, for this exercise, I want you to just rate what you believe your stress is. 5 is, do you have drive and purpose in life? And this could be spiritual. Do you have like a really big spiritual rich life or religion? And or do you have this purpose or drive that you feel that you are put on this earth for and that you're kind of heading towards? 6 is, how are your relationships and the environment around you? Now, those could be broken into 2 separate ones, but we're going to put those together. Like, how are your relationships? And do you feel like the environment that you live in is a healthy one? And 7 is your physical and emotional health. So your physical health can be anywhere from, you know, how is your health? Do you have illness and disease? And your emotional health, do you feel like that you're, you know, capable of managing life without feeling too mentally unstable, if you will, for lack of a better word? So go ahead and after you've rated those, then I want you to plug those into the map that you've created, the biggest bustling city being your highest rated one and your, you know, shuttered window town, ghost town as your lowest rated one. And again, remembering all of these are connected by roads and highways. So what I noticed when I was doing this exercise and thinking back to where I was 7 years ago is that alcohol would have been at the epicenter of my map. So, you know, like when you're on Google Maps and you can scroll around, right? So you can have your destination as the main area in your screen, or you can have where you are currently as the main area in your screen. So if you think about it in that way, I want you to, after you've sort of named your towns with all 7 of these categories, I want you to picture the one that has the least scored item in the center of your map on your screen, on your, you know, on your, and then what I want you to really see is that when that is affected, when that one area is affected, it actually affects all the other areas around. So it affects all the other areas of your life, which means that even some that got higher scored could even be turned up even more and be more vibrant of a city, if you will, if this one thing that's now in the center of your area, of your screen, is more dialed in. So an example of this is, for me, when I think back 7 years ago, alcohol was the main thing that was really like the center of my life in the terms of it being the most out of control. So a little bit about my alcohol story is that I always say that it was really long and boring. It was a couple of decades where my drinking increased most definitely over the 2 decades. And then towards the end, it was every 2 to 3 days, my husband and I would sit on the back porch and drink beer, wine, gin, whatever was our drink of choice at that moment. And always to the point where I was intoxicated. So for me, when I look at that, at alcohol, And then I look at all of these other areas, let's say all other seven areas that I had listed, it affected my sleep. I could not get good sleep when I would drink even a glass of wine. My sleep would be disrupted. My movement, I would choose things that made it feel more like I was punishing myself, right? I would work out harder. I would want to sweat more. I'd move my bodies to this extreme because I was trying to remove the alcohol from my system. My perceived stress was so much more. I couldn't handle life's just normal ins and outs of the day because of this perceived stress that I had when I would drink or when I'd be hungover from drinking. I just couldn't, the capacity to deal with stress was a lot less. And then my purpose and drive in life, I didn't have, when I was drinking, I didn't have the capacity to really look at what was my true purpose and what were the steps I needed to take in order to reach that purpose. That was very foggy to me during that time. My relationships, of course, were affected only because of my personal relationship with myself, which was the primary thing that was most affected. I couldn't trust myself anymore. So that was really low because I was in this breakup then makeup cycle with alcohol. And so when I was in that, I couldn't trust that I would do what I said that I was going to do, what I said I was going to do it when it came with not drinking. And then my physical and mental health was both, suffering just because I wasn't really taking care of my emotional well-being during that time. And so I just really want you to see that that one thing had this ripple effect, a negative ripple effect on everything else in my life. So when I was able to really dial that in and change and break my relationship with alcohol, then I was able to see a positive ripple effect then go over all of those other areas. And then what's beautiful about that is that we go through these seasons of our life where we're gonna, some of those areas aren't gonna be as dialed in. If we have small kids or even kids as they become teens, and we're not getting as good of sleep because their sleep changes and or they're out and we're worried about them. When are they coming home and all of that? Or when we start going through perimenopause and our hormones start to change or menopause and then we're not sleeping as well or the type of movement that we need to do is different than what we were doing before. So that sort of endorphin hit that we used to get, we need to sort of change that up because of many different reasons, or that maybe what we were doing previously, like when I was working as a PA, like that was my mission and drive in life. And when I recognized that that no longer resonated with me, I had to switch directions. And that was a huge upheaval. And so when we're changing that, that can have a ripple effect on other areas. So we have these seasons in our life where they're not all going to be perfectly dialed in, right? We're going to be constantly adjusting and pivoting. But it's so beautiful when you have this roadmap to know like, okay, that's good, that's good, that's good. So you're not changing the things that are going well and that you're only adjusting the things that could work a little bit better. So when I mentioned the perimenopausal area, that's where I am in my life. I don't know who else is there with me, but giving you lots of love and a huge shout out. What I noticed with that is very similar to the experiences I had with drinking was I would wake up. I wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning now with like racing thoughts and heart palpitations. My heart's racing during the day when I'm trying to come up with a conclusion or decide on something. It's a lot harder for me to do than it used to. I used to be really quick at making decisions and now it's a little harder for me to do it without questioning myself. My anxiety just during the day is different. My ability to handle caffeine has changed. And of course, that affects all these other areas of my life. But I also know, okay, little to no alcohol. Okay, stick with that. I've got that going. The movement, I have that dialed in. This idea of perceived stress, I have so many practices that I do to help with my stress, and we do a lot of that within my programs. But how do we kind of deal with this perceived stress? And I know what my purpose is and my drive is. So I'm like, okay, so how can I just really focus on dialing in this hormone area? Because it can so feel like when we're in a season of our life where things can feel bland and yucky, it can feel like everything is crumbling down. When in reality, I remind myself, this is the you can do this in gratitude journal. You can look at all the areas that actually are feeling really fulfilled, and that it's not the world is crumbling around me. It's that these specific areas need a little bit more of my focus and attention. So love to hear what you guys think about this as always. And yeah, okay. Talk to you soon. On next week's episode, we're going to look at, do fear-based programs that highlight the negative consequences really drive human behavior? I can't wait to see you then. The world needs the vibrance and wisdom of a woman's intuition to help heal the world. When we learn to trust ourselves through leaning into and through discomfort, we learn to trust ourselves, and in that space is our power and clarity.